Model test.
Section 1. Listening comprehension. This section is designed to test your ability to understand spoken English. You will hear a selection of recorded materials, and you must answer the questions that accompany them. There are three parts in this section: Part A, Part B, and Part C. Remember, while you are doing the test, you should first put down your answers in your test booklet. At the end of the listening comprehension section, you will have 5 minutes to transfer all your answers from your test booklet to answer sheet 1. If you have any questions, you may raise your hand now, as you will not be allowed to speak once the test has started. Now, look at Part A in your test booklet.
Part A. Listen and complete the sentences in questions 1 to 5 with the information you've heard. Write not more than 3 words in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the questions.
Brighton is the largest seaside resort in the southwest of England. For many people, it seems a town of contrasts. A mixture of elegant 18th century architecture and loud modern places of amusement. The town was at first a fishing village and didn't become popular until the 18th century, when doctors began to prescribe sea bathing as a cure for illness. Rich people began to visit Brighton in large numbers, and when the Prince of Wales, later George IV, arrived and decided to build a house there, its future as a tourist centre was assured. The Royal Pavilion, as the house was called, was decorated in the Chinese style popular at the time, but completely rebuilt between 1815 and 1822 in its present Indian style. The King continued to visit it until 1827, but Queen Victoria didn't like it, and it was bought by the Brighton local government. It is open to the public every day, and there is a special exhibition there in the summer. The other side of Brighton, the popular seaside resort, grew up in the 19th century. It offers all kinds of entertainment, from concerts and plays in the theatre to the popular amusement centres and such local attractions as the aquarium, established over 100 years ago, a waxworks and an electrical railway running between the aquarium and the Black Rock.
Part B. Answer questions 6 to 10 while you listen. Use not more than 5 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the questions.
Hawaii, the newest state in the United States, is a group of 8 large islands and many small ones in the central Pacific Ocean, about 2,200 miles west of San Francisco. Hawaii was probably settled about 750 AD by seafarers from the other Pacific islands. The first Europeans or Americans to visit it were the British Captain James Cook and his crew in 1778. James named his discovery the Sandwich Islands, after the sponsor of his expedition, the Earl of Sandwich. 12 years later, the others from Europe and the United States began to settle in the islands. These Westerners brought trouble to Hawaii. They brought new diseases, which the Hawaiians had no resistance to. They brought alcohol, which many Hawaiians became addicted to. They brought a new religion, which uprooted the old values and forced the islanders to abandon their old culture and conform to a new one. Many Americans settled in Hawaii, and in 1893, they overthrew the Queen and made Hawaii a republic. Sanford Dole, a missionary's son, was made president. In 1898, the United States took over the islands, and it became a territory of the United States in 1900. On December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. This attack brought about the entrance of the United States to the Second World War. In 1959, the United States Congress admitted Hawaii a statehood, making it the 50th state in the United States. For the first time in about 200 years, Hawaiians were able to participate in the electoral process.
Part C. You will hear 3 dialogues or monologues. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answer. You will hear each piece once only.
1. The first flight of the Space Shuttle Columbia in the spring of 1981 was a revolutionary development in space exploration. Unlike the rockets of the previous 20 years, Columbia has the enormous advantage of being specially designed to return to Earth and make further flights. Among a large number of projects, scientists are investigating its future use. The most exciting, perhaps, is that the first steps can now be taken towards establishing human colonies in space. The present space shuttle can only stay in space for about a week, but it could take people out to build islands where they stay for longer periods. By the year 2050, scientists estimate that man will be able to construct permanent settlements The first islands would be energy stations. There would be no hope of establishing colonies in space unless people could obtain energy there instead of getting it from the Earth. However, if the original could convert solar energy into electricity, it would be possible to provide the equivalent of a filling station for cars on Earth, allowing the space shuttle to refuel and stay in orbit for longer periods of time. If this initial project were successful, much larger solar energy stations would be constructed later, with materials brought out by the shuttle. Eventually, man would be able to construct an inhabitable planet in space. Math Department, Dr. Webster speaking.
Hello, Professor Webster. This is Janet Hill calling. I live two doors down from your teaching assistant, Don Williams. Don asked me to call you because he has lost his voice and can't talk to you himself.
Lost his voice? Oh, what a shame. Is there anything I can do for him?
Well, he has a class this afternoon from 2:30 to 4, and he won't be able to teach it. But he doesn't want to cancel it either.
Does he want me to try to find somebody else to teach the class?
No, not exactly. What he wants to do is to get someone to go in for him, just to pass back the midterm exams. He's already marked them, and they are on the desk in his office. The whole thing wouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
His class is at 2:30, you say? Well, I'm free at that time, and I was going to be on campus anyway, so I could do it for him. What room is his class in?
Cater Hall, room 214. Will you need his office key to get the exams? He's given it to me, and I could bring it to you.
Actually, That won't be necessary. We have a master key in the math department, so I can get into his office if necessary.
Thank you very much, Professor Webster. Don doesn't have another class to teach until Thursday, and hopefully he will be able to talk by then. He'll call you as soon as he can. Oh yes, I almost forgot.
Yes?
Could you put the next assignment on the board too? It's all the problems on page 45, and they are due at the next class.
No trouble at all. Thank you for passing on the news about Don. And please tell him not to worry about anything. Let's proceed to the main exhibit hall and look at some of the actual vehicles that played a prominent role in speeding up mail delivery. Consider how long it used to take to send a letter across a relatively short distance. Back in the 1600s, it took 2 weeks on horseback to get a letter from Boston to New York, a distance of about 260 miles. Crossing a river was also a challenge. Ferry services were so irregular that a carrier would sometimes have to wait hours just to catch a ferry. For journeys inland, there was always a stagecoach, but the ride was by no means comfortable, because it had to be shared with other passengers. The post office was pretty ingenious about some words. In the 19th century, in the southwestern desert, for instance, camels were brought in to help to get the mail through. In Alaska, reindeer were used. This practice was discontinued because of the disagreeable temper of these animals. We'll stop here a minute, so that you can enter this replica of a railway mail car. It was during the age of the iron horse that delivery really started to pick up. In fact, the United States transported most bulk mail by train for nearly 100 years. The first airmail service didn't start until 1918. Please take a few moments to look around. I hope you'll enjoy your tour, and as you continue on your own, may I suggest you visit our impressive philatelic collection. Not only can you look at some of the more unusual stamps issued, but there's an interesting exhibit on how stamps are made.